Blog Talk Radio.
Tony, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm super fantastic. Every day. Super fantastic.
Wake up, it's the TNT Denar. We've been waiting so long, but we made it this far. If you're feeling like I'm feeling, you know it's so hard. Gotta keep your head up, keep your faith in the Lord, and re-restore the truth. Breaking down the walls, over 10,000 people waiting on a call, and when it all coming to reality, it's over with. It's so close, I can feel it like a super hit. You never had it, you keep your head when you cash it. Outlast it, you ain't even got a flash up. How you doing, Tony? I'm super fantastic. Far from past it, now close your eyes and imagine. Those that been down, bouncing back like elastic. How many really trying to do something that's so drastic? Ask it. If you see another fella of the Denar era, I'm making their life better, yeah. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Triple P, Pam, known as already blessed. We done heard half the news. We waiting on the rest. We waiting his best. Remember that we on the same map. Tony and Ray Ren, the brothers on the same path. It's time for a transference of wealth, and I ain't trying to be left with my life on the shelf. Can't do it by myself, we gotta do it together. A life of wealth, we living life to live it forever. Let's go. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. It was all a dream, but now it's a reality. Now it's where it has to be. Just keep your faith and you will see. It's a catastrophe, but just be patient, though. Incredible how he used the oddest things to bless your soul. TNT, Denar, Tony, Raven, where you at? People waiting on the intel call to hit you back. Raven got the ladies going crazy on the open mic call. Midnight to the break of dawn, it's going on. Living in a time where we really know we need it. You gotta believe it, ain't no time to be conceited. This blessed life I cherish like the air that I'm breathing. No grieving, listen to the words that I'm speaking. It's a lifetime of wealth transferred to the believer. Know somebody ready, I can hear it through the speakers. IQD reevaluation, waiting with anticipation. I'm patient and impatiently waiting to be patient. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Ring got the ladies going crazy on the open mic call. Midnight to the break of dawn, it's going on. Living in a time where we really know we need it. You gotta believe it, ain't no time to be conceited. This blessed life I cherish like the air that I'm breathing. No grieving, listen to the words that I'm speaking. Lifetime of wealth transferred to the believer. Know somebody ready, I can hear it through the speakers. IQD reevaluation, waiting with anticipation. I'm patient and impatiently waiting to be patient. Let's go. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV,
TNT Denar.
Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go.
Super fantastic.
To start conference recording, press 1. The recording has started.
It's time. Welcome to the Information Superstation, TNT. Hosted by that dynamic duo, Tony and Ray Renfro. They're super fantastic and fantabulous, sir, to the nth degree. Bringing you the latest and greatest Iraqi Denar revaluation information. From around the globe, east to west, it's the best. So sit back, relax, and get ready to have your mind blown in the TNT Intel Zone.
Good afternoon, TNT Super Fantastic Family. Today is Monday, March 23rd, 2020. Yours truly, Rayman98 here, along with...
All right, good morning, TNT.
It is another Monday morning, and we made it to Monday Madness, or whatever CIA going to call it. I'm sure she got a name for it. So let's wait and see what comes up. All right, Ray, did we send anything out over the weekend?
No updates went out over the weekend.
No updates went out over the weekend. Well, probably because everybody was so concerned with the virus, we didn't have time to get into the oil. But, guys, let me do this for people that have to go. I don't know where they have to go. Maybe from the bedroom to the kitchen somewhere, because half the country on lockdown. Maybe they have to go. I don't know. Oh, my God. All right, guys. As we can see, and let me say this first to start with. So I don't want anybody to misunderstand anything I'm saying. First of all, at the end of the call, I want to clear Ray said, hey, I thought we wasn't going to talk about other people, which, you know, for years we've been saying we don't care what they say, what they do, and do all that. And he's right. The only reason I talk about them is people send me the stupid and contentious stuff they say that's really affecting people. And sorry. So I'm not sorry for talking about them. I'm just sorry that life is now like that because we live in a different reality than we did 10 years ago. But one of my friends called me this morning. She don't even listen to the call, okay? What she does do, though, is give me the bank information because she's the bank contact. And she was asking me about all this stuff. She was hearing this and that. And I told her how unfortunately ludicrous it was. I said, you work at the bank. And you know you ain't doing nothing. Well, she said, one thing for sure, if you want your bubble busted, talk to Tony. So I started laughing at her. I said, one thing is for sure, if you want a dose of reality, talk to Tony. Because that's what you're going to get. That's all. We used to get a lot of good stuff, actually, from her bank contact, the others. You know, we used to get the rates on the screens all the time as they change. We used to get the plans from every meeting that they have going forward. We used to get, you know, on standby, on alert, restricted to 25 miles. We even got when they were, I know some of you guys been here long enough, when they went to the office and couldn't go home. They had to stay in hotels, and they were taking their phones at the doors. I mean, because we were that close to this happening, they were doing all those things. Well, now they're doing none of those things. None of the banks are doing those things. And I talked to three different ones this morning. They're preparing for nothing because they don't know. Because there's no window because the world is going crazy out there right now, today. And our thing is, how long does it go that way before we can actually see this? So I gave you the banking side first. Nothing going on, unfortunately. Nobody's on standby. Nobody's on alert. Nobody's at the facilities. But they're still being told it's going to happen when all of this mess gets corrected. It's going to happen. We're still going to be filthy rich. And we're going to talk about how we do some of that today. If you look in Iraq, guys, there's no prime minister. There's no new government. There's nobody to make the decisions on the budget, which they're saying they absolutely want the new budget to cover all this deficit. Absolutely need the money that they had in that budget to cover this deficit. So they need something to happen over there. Now, some people were told that it was going to be a prime minister picked on over the weekend. They were going to go ahead and vote and do it. That didn't happen. Some groups have said they're going to support Zafari and come right back out even today and say, now, no, they're not. Why? They're not going to, unless he meets with the groups who don't want him and can convince them by giving them exactly what the people don't want them to have. Okay, the positions and power that they want. So I started to send you guys out an article this morning, but I'm thinking 80, 90, 95% of you probably wouldn't even read it, even if I sent it to you, because it's too long. But it explains to you, maybe I'll just send it out and see. I'll just send it out. It explains, instead of me explaining, what has happened from 2003 all the way to today. I'm right about what?
They won't read it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But it does. It explains the separation of powers. It explains about the mistake that we made by not just taking over Iraq, but they feel it was a mistake to even try to teach them and show them and how the U.S. opened the door for Iran to come in, waited too long to react when they did. And now they're embedded in there. And it explains that probably the only possible way this can end is what I said is with the people riding in the streets and the people overthrowing them. It's probably the only possible way that the Iranian influence can end in Iraq. Not the only way that the RV can happen. I just say the only way that the Iranian influence can end in Iraq, which controls a whole lot of it. So it's good reading. You can read it. You've been in this thing for 10, 15 years like we have. You'll know exactly what they're talking about when it happens and know that this is just the historic or the history of the RV and of Iraq. But so here's the good thing. A bunch of people don't like Zavarri, whatever his name. What's his name? Anyway, they don't like him. They want him to be replaced already. That's their argument. They want him to be replaced right now because they're saying they're not going to vote for him and we're just wasting time. But their constitution says he has 30 days. So that's the argument. Do we give him 30 days or we just replace him right now and go with somebody the Shiites want who they know is going to do exactly what Iran says? Because that's their offer. Quit wasting time, appoint one of these three guys who we know are going to do what we want them to do, or we're not going to vote. You can't get any more black and white than that. I just don't see it. So, but we do know that we have to do something about the economy. We do know the price of oil going down to $20 now is ridiculous, even for them, even though they're saying they have enough money to pay the salaries, and they got enough wheat for 3 months. Been praying to God it don't take all that long. So, Russia did make a deal with Bulgaria on, in fact, their oil prices and their oil production. They have yet to make a deal with Saudi Arabia. And everybody knows that's 50% of the problem. I mean, in our market, that's what helped drove it down. In Iraq, that's what's stopping them. At least 50% of not doing the RV, because they need them to make that deal so the price of oil goes back up so it can give the dinar the value it needs to be revalued. Plain and simple. Can't beat that. So before I start taking questions, I'll tell you guys one more thing. Years ago, well, maybe I'm going to tell you two more things, but years ago, we weren't talking about Iraq because we didn't really care about Iraq. We talked about investment opportunities. We talked about growth. We talked about changing our own cities, states. We talked about business opportunities and how we could make our money grow and become legendary, okay, in our own families. That's creating the kind of legacies that we never thought we'd be able to, even from a very little perspective. But now we are. So there's always a shining light to every situation, or good and bad, depends on how you want to look at it. So I'm looking at the market, and it's steady dropping, even right now. Well, that just came back up because it was down 800 points. I told you guys the other day, when it goes down 200 points, up 200 points, down 300 points, up 400 points, somebody's making money. So I was talking to one of my friends last night, and he said, man, I made $3,600 yesterday, just from here to here. And then I said, well, shit, do that every day, you know. You're making 90 grand a month just on the market going, swinging back and forth, which there's a whole lot of people out making a whole lot more than that. But your opportunities increased effective today because you're only doing electronic trading. You don't have to trade to make $3,600 a month. Even when I day traded before, people I know, they would just make $100 a month. I mean, a day, not a month. $100 a day off a very little bit of money. But the way this market is going up and down, if you look at it, pay attention, that's still extra $2,200 a month because it's 22 trading days. That's $2,200 a month sitting down at your computer at $100 a day, which I explained to you guys before, the perfect time to do it. And when we were talking about it, the exact times I was doing it to make sure I made money. And you'll watch this and go back and listen to it, those that you remember. See what time of the day the market is actually fluctuating the most. So go back and look at that because we talked about it. We talked about two other things that I told you guys about. I told you about when I get this money, how I was going to go look at marijuana companies. You don't have to smoke marijuana. You just have to be smart about marijuana. So a couple things happened. This morning, Governor Cuomo, New York, was sitting on TV talking about Corona and everything else and talking about their budget. And he said, one of my priorities is still to make marijuana legal. I mean, this year. He said, we're trying to do that. Make it legal. Going to be plenty of opportunities. We had a marijuana company, and you guys can look it up on your own. Was selling for $100 a share. It's now to $3 a share. But it started out as a penny stock. So if you know that it's been to $100, it's at $3, what do you think is going to happen when all this mess is over? Think it's going to happen when the oil price is settled and the market goes back up by 50%. So there's definitely opportunities out there right now for people to be making money if you're paying attention to the things we've talked about in the past. Another key place I told you guys about years ago, we discussed it. I said, man, I'm going to be involved in 3D printing. 3D printing. Remember that? I'm going to look up every company in every state, just like marijuana, who's involved in 3D printing. I even told you guys 3D printing companies are going to make money, but there was really a gold mine in the 3D printing industry. I'm going to see if anybody remembers exactly where it is. Because today, right now, this moment, it is paying off. People are making money because now 3D printing companies are making the medical supplies that they need for this, are making the masks that they need for this. And they're using mom and pops all over the country in their garages and having them now make these surgical masks and these covers that the hospitals need. And they're getting paid for it, absolutely. Nobody can afford to do it for free. But I'm just telling you where 3D printing was going to be in our lives and is in our lives. I told you years ago, an opportunity. All of this is going to be here when the RV comes to light, guys. All this is still going to be here. The only difference is we're going to be able to get in at a lot less price and have much more opportunity for it to rise because it will go back to where it was once all this money starts flowing. So that's just something to think about. And let's do what we do, Ray.
Okay. Sounds good to me. First question is from Scotto. It says, Tony, will Wells Fargo be putting together IPOs after the RV? You always would speak of Chase Bank as the bank for IPOs.
No, no. Every bank is involved in some IPOs. Bank of America, Citibank, that. You have to go to your bank, to your wealth manager, and see which ones they are involved in and where they can get you. There's no one bank that does all the IPOs.
All right. Sunstar says, that you know of, are all CBI international banking laws still in place for international release of the RV, and do you have any U.S. or CBI banking news?
Nope, already gave out the banking news. There's nothing going on. The CBI isn't doing anything. They're too concerned right now about how confused the government is and that Iraq is looking bad to the rest of the world because of their political situation, because of their financial situation, and now even the virus itself. And they're admitting they're looking bad, and nobody is really wanting to invest in Iraq at the moment. No other countries. And this morning, they told the IMF and World Bank that they could not make the payments on the money that they had already loaned them. And they wanted a moratorium of 90 days on making those payments. So I'm going to say it might work, it might not work. I don't know. I was going to say, so who do you loan money to? And they say, I can't pay you, but loan me some more money. And you do that. How often does that happen? Now, those words were coming out my mouth even before they changed it, because I know Trump did that all the time. He would file bankruptcy, I can't pay you. And then the bank would turn around and loan him money to buy his own properties at a discounted price. I know that for a fact, because that's where I learned that at. And it was a book called The Art of the Deal. I got that from him and some guys here that used to own the Kings. But there's a family, they would do that. They would foreclose, the property foreclosing, their brother and sister would go buy it at half price or a third of the price. Wipe the bank out because it was insured. IMF World Bank would say, okay, you know what? I know you can't pay what we owe you, but here's some more. So one day we hope you can pay it all back instead of letting it go. It could happen. We'll see.
Okay. Anything you can share from your government or everyday people contacts in Iraq that would bring a smile to our faces?
Here we go. Positive. I can tell you it's positively going to happen. Nobody has stopped it, and they are ready for some changes. Nobody says it's going to be another 10 years, another 5 years. But they're saying anything. They're saying everything is in place and ready to go as soon as we can.
Okay, Zebra. Wait a minute. Next question was, any currency vendor news you can share?
Nope. Haven't talked to any vendors, not associated with any vendors. I know there was one out there trying to sell, buy you guys dinar, I mean, I think 2 weeks ago, but not sure what happened.
All right. Zebra wants to make everyone aware that today is Idaho USA birthday. Those who haven't been in chat, if you've been in chat, you would know that already. But Idaho USA is celebrating her birthday today. So happy birthday to you, Idaho USA.
I wanna wish you a happy birthday. I wanna help you celebrate. I wanna wish you lots of presents. I wanna help you eat your cake.
bossy, bossy in the island way. You'll be jamming all night till the light of day. Your birthday, birthday is your day to shine. Another year and you'll be looking fine. So have a no worries, don't you hesitate.
Happy birthday. Okay, that takes us to Burbank Lou. Burbank Lou says, where is the money coming from to fund the Zim?
All of our money, currencies, comes from the U.S. Treasury, guys. It's deals that the Treasury has made with the other countries. The Treasury will hold all of this money in foreign currency reserves and use it through their agreements.
All right, let's go to the board. We'll talk live. 404 area code, you are first.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Ray. I hope my sound volume is okay. I've been some issues with phones because I have issues with phones regardless of what call phone I use, so apologize for that. A couple of items, please. You know, the whole issue of trying to get a prime minister position, be it Zerfi or, you know, they certainly didn't like Alawi and the like. Focus now in looking at a lot of the papers, it's almost as if that is taking a back seat to the whole issue of the coronavirus and how Iraq is handling that. It even seems to have drawn Mahdi out, where he's chairing meetings where he said he wouldn't, and he's going around touring to see that they are abiding by the curfew. Now, if they've got that curfew in place, that would impact the demonstrators and kind of keep them from, you know, doing their displeasure at what's going on. My question here is that the curfews and all of this have been initially set for Saturday the 28th, kind of being coming off around 11 p.m. Baghdad time Saturday night. Others are extending it into April 1, April Fool's Day, which I thought would be kind of apropos, but that's an editorial comment. How do you see that really impacting getting anything done? And that this could be a stall tactic, ultimately, that if they didn't like Zerfi, that they can chew up the 30 days that he's been given by saying we're doing all this stuff dealing with the coronavirus.
Let me ask you a question before I answer that. And everybody can answer it for themselves. Do you believe in the coronavirus? Do you think it's real? That was a personal question.
I will reserve judgment.
Okay. All right.
You know, if you're one that's 6 feet under as a result of whatever this thing is, yes, it's very real. I'm curious on this, because the other thing, I must admit, that sometimes you think these stage photos, especially coming through, they were showing Mahdi visiting the people who were maintaining the control, you know, the patrols on the streets and the like. They were all wearing their masks. They were wearing the rubber blue gloves and the like. And there is Mahdi with no mask on. And it's sort of, is that so that they can be sure that the photo, they know that it's Mahdi? Or, you know, why isn't he wearing a mask? Everybody else is. So what's the deal? So, you know, it does make some question on what's going on here, their photo off. So, but that
okay,
was my question.
let's ask this, because I'm going to get to your question too. But guys, it's just something to think about for us along the way. All these different countries have it, and you'll see most presidents walking around without masks, without gloves on, without all of this, which I think is really just so they're not scaring their country and putting everybody in panic mode. They have to show the strength and courage to say, hey, we got this under control, or I wouldn't be out here like this if we didn't have it under some type of control. They have to project that image so that chaos doesn't take over in the streets in the country. So I could see why he would do it. Everybody else around him, he could just as well say, so I don't get it from any of them. Like our politicians are doing, definitely getting it from some of the people around
him. Mm-hmm.
To be a good reason. The 30 days, everybody knows, and we talked about it right after Mahdi when they took so long. We talked about it with Alawi and said this is a process Iran could be wanting to go through to just keep delaying things as far as they can. But you'll see Maliki's group, Amiri's group, another one, the Shiite groups, and the others are asking Saleh to just dismiss him right now. Say, we're just wasting time. We're not going to vote for him. You're just wasting 30 days. Pick one of these guys over here and do it now, even though their constitution says they can't. So they already let us know what it's going to be like at the end of 30 days. They're not going to vote for him because he's not going to do what Iran says, and he already said that. So they did just waste 30 days, but that part is already accomplished. So we just got to wait it out unless something else changes so drastically. And they're telling us they can survive. Go ahead.
Especially if they're getting loans and the like, even though they can't pay prior loans or whatever here. So, okay. Other question that I always appreciate your continuing to keep us in the loop in terms of what your banking sources here are telling you with respect to training and being at the exchange centers or not, or at the call centers or not. Given that they are definitely on a hold pattern of some sort, what's the status with respect to anyone, given that we're getting into spring break time and the like, for taking vacations? Have they lifted that so that they could be going on vacations, in which case we would know that this is getting further into April?
They have not lifted that, and they probably won't, because they don't know the day it's going to start. So they're not going to tell people, okay, you guys can go vacation, you know, April the 16th and thereafter, and then everything clears up on the 14th. Well, they're not going to say starting May 1st, you guys can go on vacation again, when the 30 days will be up, we'll be into it, and it may be the start of the RV, or they still might be in midstream. So they're not going that far, but they're just not having them on alert and standby and everything else. They have not reinstated their vacations as of yet.
Okay. Good enough. Well, I appreciate it. And again, appreciate your guys' tenacity in staying with this and the like. And before, remind people of the 10 days post-RV Super Fantastic-er Pay It Forward project. My birthday greetings to Idaho, USA as well. I know that this time last year she was figuring that was the last birthday she was going to be having. And Tony, you're coming on your birthday. We would hope that it's going to happen before that. But I guess we just have to wait and know that this Super Fantastic-er Pay It Forward project is going to be in April sometime. We'll hope for the best.
Well, I got two things to say to you. First of all, you didn't tell me what today was.
It's Monday. Money coming to us Monday is what I would hope it would be. Marvelous money, monumental, magnificent. How many M's do you want? You know?
Okay. The second thing is their quarantine was supposed to be off on the 28th because there are some people out there in the world who think the RV is on the 28th, and I'm with that. Great birthday present. Let's do it.
That would sure be.
Okay.
That would be. That would be monumental, magnificent. Beyond.
That's right.
Super, super. Well, again, guys, appreciate your info and tenacity, and I'll let you ring me off so that someone else can come in with their questions. And have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye. 972. You're next. Danny in Dallas.
Hey there, Danny in Dallas. How you guys today?
Hey, sir.
Hey.
All right.
I'm super fantastic, sir. How about you?
I suspected that would be your answer, yes. Appreciate what you guys are involved in. I'm at my first house doing some remodeling here. I'm the entertainment, and my granddaughter's over there high-teching it with her laptop. But It is a good day. Let me mention a couple of things that caught my attention today. You mentioned the price of oil immediately in your monologue this morning. I checked my sources. I'm in Texas, you know. This is a good place to be for oil. The local U-Totem quick stop place had gas for $1.67. Not bad for us, but I did notice that the oil, the barrel oil price for West Texas crude was $22.70 at 12:15 Central Time today. But I did a little further checking. On Wednesday, it went down, Texas crude, went down to $20.37. That's the lowest that it's been in a long time. Now, it has crept below that, but closing rate was what I was watching. And then on the next day, Thursday, it went up with the largest percentage in history to $25.22. But we live in a volatile world right now. So on Friday, it lost about half of that. And we're now at $22.70 as of 30 minutes ago. Interesting enough, the people here, I don't know them, several contacts removed, made a suggestion that Texas, who hasn't reduced oil production in a long time, cut back 500,000 barrels a day. And suggested that if Russia and Saudi Arabia would also follow suit, we could reduce the world market by 1.5 million per day. And Saudi immediately responded to invite that fella, he's not the hierarchy, but he's in the hierarchy, to come to the next OPEC meeting. Now, we don't know if they're going to do it. Of course, you've already mentioned the market's kind of crazy right now. But it's interesting to know that we live in some interesting times here. The largest increase in one day from Wednesday to Thursday. And now we've got Texas, yay for us, part of the negotiations that could solve the oil problem. The reason that is interesting to me is simply because we need the price of oil to be acceptable to Iraq. Even if it doesn't make it back to that $54, $55, we need it to be acceptable so that they can revalue. Appreciate your input on the quandary over there, the challenges over there. But this is a good I think a good possibility that some answers could be had soon. That doesn't mean we have to wait till April. It doesn't mean we have to wait till May or June. It could just happen overnight, as you have said, time. So just wanted to give that happy report and then ask one question.
Okay.
I'm concerned about social distancing. I've been on the back porch of my house for several days. My knuckles are raw from knocking on the back door. Is it true that my wife can keep me outside and call that social distancing?
I would think if she really was smart, she wouldn't even let you come close to the door. She'd keep you on the other side of the fence. But we'll see.
She has changed the locks. I'm not sure I get the whole hint yet. But surely that's not part of social distance. Surely.
Oh. Okay. I guess it depends on what part of the country you're in. Right?
Good point.
But let me tell you
good
this.
Point.
That
yes.
That getting back to your oil story,
yeah,
it's actually the price of oil went down because Saudi Arabia and Russia arguing over 1.5 million barrels a day coming out, where everybody had agreed to it except Russia. Now, their biggest contention right now is even if Russia agrees to it, and Russia is saying they're willing to discuss and battle about it, and Saudi Arabia has agreed if they can figure a way to get shale oil out of the Middle East. So they're really now trying to say, if the U.S. will leave our market, then we will do this.
Interesting.
You know, so that's one of the side things that they are trying to get done with this. Yeah, it's interesting. But, you know, so, but they are talking. Iraq's talking. They can come to some kind of agreement. I'm pretty sure shale oil isn't going anywhere. It's engrossed in Iraq. They got the contracts there. And that's what they're trying to get more money out of it. That's all. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, this whole argument could be over with tomorrow. I mean, I don't know when they're meeting. I know Iraq is the intermediary between the two. And I know as soon as they come to some kind of agreement, they still have to go back to OPEC, have a meeting, get it all signed off. And then I know the price of oil is going to shoot, maybe not all the way back up, but significantly, and change the entire global market once again. So half of our battle will be done when that happens. Right.
I agree. That's good news. It's maybe delayed news, but it's good news. I'm going to run out and fill up my tank with gas before the oil price goes up. Okay? I'll see you later. Got to go.
All right. Thank you, sir. And I will have you guys know, I filled my tank up last night for $2.99. And I could barely believe that happened. So, all right. What's next, Ray?
Okay, 281, area code. You're on.
Well, hello, Tony. Hello, Ray. How you guys
hey
doing
there.
Today?
Fantastic.
I'm super fantastic. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm great. I can't complain. Cannot complain. Well, I do have some questions for you this morning.
Okay.
Well, the oil thing is interesting, and I wanted to ask you what you thought, because we know that Iraq is wanting that oil price to go back up so that they can, you know, at least have the opportunity, I guess, to do this thing with the oil. But if they are still having issues over there trying to select, you know, the cabinet and the prime minister, I don't even see how the oil price is important to them at this point, because they can't even get that part together. How is that going to work? They get the oil back where they want, and they're still over there bickering about, you know, these positions. When are they going to ever get through that part of it? You know, it seems like they can't even make their mind up on that. And my next question is, have you been following the currency swap between the countries?
I haven't been following it, no.
Okay.
So that,
well, I know
that
I
answered all those questions, huh? Go ahead.
I think this morning, coming out of Frank 26's room, where one of his high priority type intel person is saying that Iraq and the U.S., well, let's just put it the way he said it. He said that he thought that Iraq did a currency swap with the United States of America recently. And I was going to ask you if you've seen or heard anything about that. And if that's the case, what would be, what would you think about that? How would that entail? Because I know they said they were not going to loan them any money, right? I mean, so how
Would
that interact with what we're looking for?
All right. First of all, it's not about the RV. All the countries are trying to get the dollar, because the dollar is the highest it's been in the last 10 years. And right now, even though everybody else has been telling you guys for years how worthless the dollar is going to be, the value of the dollar has gone up. So they're doing currency swaps with several countries who are trying to take advantage of it right now, as we are taking advantage of those, because it buys more for them if they have dollars, and there is a shortage on dollars. So countries are now trying to do that, who were all selling the dollars back 2 years ago, selling the bonds back, are now all trying to get the dollars just for straight up cash. No other reason. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're calling it a currency swap. Iraq is no different. The question we want to know and be answered is, when they start exchanging currency, not just swapping, and there's a difference, at what rate? Iraq has four different exchange rates going in their country right now. So which is the one we want is the question, and which amount did they do it for? Okay. So, again, that had nothing to do with the RV. It had to do with each one of those countries, because it wasn't just Iraq, trying to get money to do business with while this market is down, and the dollar is the strongest dollar right now out of all the countries. Uh-huh. That's why people are trying to get it. That's the only reason. Okay?
Okay. So with that said, as far as Iraq is concerned, I mean, the oil price is down. They know they're underwater, and now they're doing this. I'm hoping that once this oil price comes back up, that they get their behinds on board and do this thing. Because, I mean, things happen every day. Life changes. They could see themselves back in another pickle if they don't hurry up and get this thing done, because they're floating already, barely, without drowning. So I just can't. I mean, we know that they find some type of tool to pull out of the box to keep this thing going by not doing it, but I'm just hoping that with all these things that are happening at this point, they will do something about it, and hopefully,
get it done. Let me tell you this, and everybody understand. Well, Iraq has to do three things in order to get their country stabilized. Three very little things that they have. They have to revalue their currency, and everybody knows that. They have to stabilize their own government and make it a government that the people can live with. And number three is they have to get rid of the Iranian influence in the country. Those are the three things they have to do to make their country attractive to the world again. Now, the problem is, just like now, they're all intertwined and trying to get them accomplished. There's articles out this morning. There's people talking about it. Everybody knows what needs to happen, but they don't want to give up their power to make it happen, because that's the bottom line. They don't want Zafari to be the prime minister, because he said, I'm going to do some things people not going to like. And they said, well, no, we're not going to let you do that, because that means we're going to lose all our power and authority. So all of the Iranian groups are saying, we're not going to vote for him, because he's going to mess everything up for everybody else, which is the leadership. So bottom line, what it comes down to is the people. People either want two ways. The people riot so much that Parliament all get on the plane and leave, or the people are in the streets so much that Parliament and the government overreact, start killing them, and the U.S. and the U.N. can step in. One of those is going to have to happen in order to get rid of the Iranian influence, in order to get rid of their Parliament. Now, could they be so broke in 2 months that they're saying, hey, it's time for us to leave? You know, we're at the bottom of the barrel. Let's cut out, then, you know, take the money and run. Let's revalue the money, pass the budget, get as much as we can, and run. Because that could happen. Now, it could happen in a month or 2 months. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. But Iran is asking the UN to step in and ask the U.S. to remove the sanctions so they can survive. And they're using the coronavirus as an excuse, but it's so they can survive. And now this morning, there's four or five other countries that are asking the U.S. to release the sanctions so they can survive. But Iran wanted it to be so bad, somebody else going to look at it, and they're saying, as a humanitarian effort, U.S., release the sanctions at least till the virus is over, so these people can survive. And that's what they want. They figure they can get it until it's over. And believe me, guys, it's not going to be over on March the 31st or April 14th or anything like that if you're really paying attention. they'll have enough time to do business, get supplies, and even build their country back up. So the reality, what people don't want to know, that's what has to happen.
Could they
do the RV without that? I mean, can they pass the budget without that? I mean, is the numbers in the budget? Now, anybody, common sense would think if your country's about to starve, you're saying you only have 2 months of wheat left, you only have 3 months of money to pay your people, and your saving grace is the RV. If they could do it tomorrow, it'd be done. If they could have did it last week, they would have already done it, built their money back up, and went on with life. So there are things that have to happen, and they will happen, without a doubt. And by the fact it's taking us a little bit longer, we get a lot richer, and we're twice as smart as we were going to be 5 years ago if it happened, and knowing exactly where to put our money in the market now and what the future looks like. And we know exactly how far the future is going to grow. It's going back to 28, like it has always come back after every recession, every downturn. It will go back to its highest point. The question is how much higher. But this time, we get to take that ride up, because now we are the guys with the millions of dollars and nothing to do with it except make more money.
Right. Well, I agree with you on all of that. I'm just, you know, trying to figure out how, with the Iranian influence, that's the issue, the whole issue right now. So I don't know how they're going to figure all that out with them keep interfering the way they are. I mean, it don't seem like to me right now. I mean, the starving of the people and all this stuff, yes, it's bad, and we can see that, but then it's just crazy. It's real confusing, but it's crazy too. So, all right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it, and hopefully we'll see something sooner than later. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 610, area code, you are on. It's G-Man.
Hey, G-Man. Good afternoon, Ray. And good morning, Tony. It's G-Man MPA.
Hey, sir.
Hey.
Good afternoon. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for all of you who are new to the call and all of you who didn't know, all these calls and all the means of communication that Ray and Tony use to keep us informed need to be paid for. And it's up to all of us out here in the currency community to make donations in order to keep this information superstation on the air. You can help by going to www.tntsuperfantastic.com, clicking on that red donate button, and when you do, the name and address will come up to where you can send your check or money order made payable to Raymond Renfro, P.O. Box 1748, Elm City. That's just like the tree. Elm City, North Carolina, 27822. And for those of you who would like to donate electronically, the Cash App is available on the donation page. And if you're already familiar with and utilizing the Cash App, you can go to $TNT Super Fantastic, and you'll be able to make your donations electronically. Remember to do it today, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be very, very glad that you did. And when you are sending in your donations, please remember to include your phone number. That way it will make it easier for Ray to track those donations as they come in. As always, Ray and Tony, thank you for all you continue to do for us. Thank you to both of your families for continuing to share you with us. Thank you to those 13 task force members still out there making sure that the bankers and meeting facilities are going to be available for us post-RV. And I'll close out with Vegas, Vegas, Vegas. Verification, negotiation, diversification, protect your principal, KYW, know your worth, and rally, 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 so I can come join you and enjoy some of that good homestyle North Carolina barbecue. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, thank you, sir.
Dynamite day.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye. 951, area code, you are on.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, afternoon.
Good afternoon, yes. Good day.
All right.
Anyway, I just wanted to kind of get things kind of straightened out a little bit. I know one thing we've been waiting on is for Iraq to get their government put together. And then came along the Saudis and the Russia, I guess, oil war. And now we have the coronavirus. So that's three things we're kind of waiting on before this thing happens, right?
Yep, you're right.
Okay. And there's probably still plus a few more things going on behind the scenes that you're probably not allowed to talk about yet or whatever. So basically we're just, so there's really no, I guess any new window we're looking at now, because there's too many cards in play here now. So that's correct, right?
Well, there's no window. Well,
right. Yeah.
People in Iraq thought that Fari was going to get through. Some of them thought they were going to have a vote surprise, and he was going to get through, which didn't happen. And they've thought that before, because these guys get together, say one thing, and go back to their organization, then it's something totally different. So he doesn't have the votes at all, not even close to the votes to get voted. So that's not moving forward, but they still have to give him his 30 days. They can't take that away from him. He got 30 days to convince everybody or start promising to do what they want in order for it to go through. So I can't tell you it's not going to go through in 30 days. It's just not going through right now. They are complaining, guys, politicians and people in their parliament are complaining about the budget and the fact that they can't use the budget. And they're saying they need that money. The country needs that money. They're blatantly saying our situation is only getting worse. We're sticking our head in the sand, because that's the term they use, acting like we can't see what's happening or don't care what's happening. And it's going to get so bad, we're not going to be able to fix it. And that's why I tell you guys, at some point, their politicians are going to realize that, and they're going to take the money and just run and leave the country to what it is, because Iran can't suck it, you know, blood out of a rock. Because then it's going to be all over with, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully, it won't get to that level, and the people will stand up before then. Now, the people's problem is not that they're not willing to stand up, because they were for the last 5 months. Whose problem now is the virus. Because how can we stand 1 million, 2 million strong, and then everybody start dying from a virus that Iraq has no medical control over? They don't have the medical facilities we have. They don't have the doctors we have. And if it starts running rampant in Iraq like it did in Iran, then they'll have an issue. So the people have to protect themselves at least till this pandemic is over.
Okay. Yeah, that was one thing I was going to ask you about there, you know, because Iraq, they could possibly get their government put together. Russia and Saudi Arabia could come to terms, and then that leaves us with the corona. And so, and especially with all everything, like you said, happening in Iran, if it could happen in Iraq, you know, with all of everything happening in Italy, I mean, they can't, I really don't see them letting that go until, like you said, this kind of settles down or they get some kind of, making some kind of good progress on this. So, but like you said, we never know, you know, things can happen so fast anymore today. So all we can do is just sit here, you know, like you said, go from the living room to the bedroom or whatever, you know, and wait our time and hope for the best. You know?
That's all we can do right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're telling us on TV every day, every medical professional is telling us, if you guys are paying attention, it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's here. I mean, if it gets worse around the world, look where they're at right now. It starts doubling and tripling their numbers. It's going to have to get better. I think, and I'm pretty sure medical guys are right, we can overcome the virus if we do nothing but wait until June, July. I mean, I still think they're trying to get a vaccine and everything, but it doesn't really live in heat, just like the flu. So they think it'll die down just naturally as summer comes, spring comes, and the heat kills it all. It'll be back next winter, though, if they don't do something about it. But in the meantime, if Iraq could just settle the other two issues, this could go at any time.
Yep, exactly. That's one thing I was going to mention, too, if you heard anything about the heat and the coronavirus. So I've heard that, it can't survive in heat. So.
Right.
All right. Well, here we are. We'll all be together till the end, and then we'll be together after that, too. So let's all hope and pray for the best forever.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. 727 area code. You are on.
Yes, good morning, Ray, or good morning, Tony. Good afternoon, Ray.
Yes, sir, good afternoon.
Thanks. Good morning, how are you?
Well, I'd say I'm pretty good. I woke up this morning, and that was a good sign. And I'm just kind of figuring that as long as I'm breathing and able to wake up every day, I'm blessed. And that's what helps me get through the day. Tony, I'm curious because it's no secret that Saudi Arabia and Iran are button heads at who's going to control the Middle East or have the major sector of influence. Any way, in your opinion, do you think that part of the reason that Saudi's being so stubborn on the oil production is because they know what it's doing to Iran and their ability to be able to get anything really of value for their oil?
Okay, so we have to remember, right now, Iran is not a player because of the sanctions. They've already been cut off. That's why this is between Saudi and Russia. And, I mean, it's affecting even Iraq because it's the price of oil. But, no, I don't think it was directed at Iran because nothing has changed in Iran. Nobody's buying their oil anyway. That's why their economy is crashing. You got to remember that Saudi agreed to the OPEC deal. It was only after Russia refused to agree that Saudi Arabia take this action. And that was retaliation against Russia because they are now crashing Russia's economy because of the price of oil.
Okay, so that's not, Ben, you don't think that's any way of putting increased pressure on them, on Iran. So then...
No, because their oil market was already dead anyway. Good.
So back to your original feelings about the idea that there has to be some sort of reaction from the people to regain the momentum they had 2 months ago, in order to get the guys to turn tail and run from the parliament, realizing that if they don't, that they'll start to bulldoze their houses and burn their houses. Do you think that's a reasonable summarizing of what would have to happen to make that happen sooner?
Yep, let's look at it. The U.S. and Iran have been fighting over Iraq. And let's just cut it down to 5 years, the last 5 years, even though we know it's been longer. They've been fighting over who's going to run the government, who's going to be in what position, everything. Absolutely nothing changed. Position stayed empty, no RV, even though they were positioning everything else. Now, the RV was, again, supposed to happen in September, and end of September, first part of October. And they said they were going to let it go through with the new strategy. But the minute the people got involved on the streets, the crowd suffered. they went down, start locking down the rest of the economy, the streets, the bridges, the people. Look how fast things change. Look how they agreed to do the new election law. Look how the prime minister stepped down. Look how they're ready to revoke parliament. They've agreed to do the reforms. They gave out 500,000 new jobs to the young people because they were standing in the street. That's what brought change. Nothing the U.S. did, nothing Iran did, our parliament, there was no change. It was life as usual, money still flowing, auction happening every day, Iran still eating. The only people who were suffering were the Iraqi people. And when they stood up and spoke loudly, change came. Well, in order to complete the change, they're going to have to stand back up and speak louder. That's the only thing that can happen.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Just one man's opinion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they haven't been having the demonstrations, right, because of the virus, so nobody else is getting shot for now.
Nobody's out there saying, hurry up and do this. Nobody's forcing them to do anything because they already cleared all the bridges. Now they cleared the squares all across the country because they're telling them smaller groups are getting infected, that so people are staying home, so there's no pressure.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Keep fighting the good fight, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right, sir. Thank you. 970 area code. You are on. Okay, guess you changed your mind or went to sleep or something. 503 area code, you were on. 503.
Okay.
Okay. You're on the phone.
Oh, she's on the
47. Yeah. 470, you are on.
Hello?
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Hey, how are y'all?
Fantabulous.
Super fantastic.
To the nth degree.
Okay, I had a question, but somebody already asked the question that I wanted to ask.
Okay.
Okay.
It could be 30 more days, so.
All right.
You only had one question?
Huh?
That was it? You only had one question?
You only had one question?
Yeah, I only had one question.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
646. 646. 676. You're on.
Okay.
You're off. So 951-973, you're on.
Good morning. Is that me again?
Hey, that's you again.
Hey.
How'd you get back in the loop?
I don't know. I went off the queue and came back on because I forgot to ask one other thing.
Oh, so you did put your hand back up then. Okay.
Yes, I did.
We're
good.
All right.
Anyway, I forgot that. How does the stock market come into play with all this?
The stock market is actually crashing for two very good reasons. It started with the coronavirus, not with the GCR, not with the RV or the Iraqi dinar. It started with the virus. When they started closing borders of countries, they started losing the import-export orders, which, of course, took the market down. And that makes sense. Nobody's ordering anything else. Then the price is going to go down. nobody's importing, nobody's selling anything else, then the price is going to go down. As that became larger, more countries, it started affecting the market because the prices of things, which made sense. Well, in the midst of all that, when the oil war came, it was like pouring gasoline on a campfire. Here, let's just throw this 5 gallons of gasoline on this campfire and see what happens. And next thing you know, the woods are on fire. Because that's what happened. When they did this with the oil and the price, it just exacerbated the whole thing, caused it to start doubling every day. And that's why I say, as soon as the agreement is made with Saudi, Russia, OPEC, everybody comes back to the table, oil is going to go from $20 to $30 to $35 practically overnight. And when it does, I said practically, not overnight, practically overnight,
yeah,
depending on what price they set it at, then the market's going to do the same thing. And that's what I'm saying. Somebody's going to be getting filthy rich. I mean filthy rich, because this market is going to shoot back up. If somebody making money every day. But I was telling you guys the other day, I know some people, this is at 18 today, 18.5. They just put another 10 grand in the market. But they put 10 in at 18, 10 at 19, 10 at 20, 10 at 21. I mean, when it shoots back up to 26, 27, or just level off where it was, 28, they done made a couple of billion dollars off $10,000 investment. Somebody's making money every day right now. And they want this thing to go down to 17 or 16 and make even more. But, yes, that's why I said just the oil agreement will make a difference in not only the market but the price of oil, so then they could come up with something to do the RV. And that's what we're looking for.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thanks for that, Tony.
All right, sir.
All right. Take care. 501 area code, you are on.
I have a question. I'm not sure if it's right or not, but why can't the people form the parliament and turn the tide on the Iranians and tell them they're going to vote how they want them to and get that part of it over with?
Why can't the people form their own parliament?
Yeah.
You know what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, because that would be a government coup. They would be taking over the government. You're saying, why don't we go to Washington and tell Trump to get out and tell all the congressmen to get out and then go to the Senate and say, get out. And we're going to bring in 300 other people to sit in your seat, and we're going to make all the decisions. So what's that noise, Ray? You know?
No, must be. I think it's on his line.
Okay, well, mute it out.
Connection. Yep.
Okay, guys, so, yeah, that's called a coup in government, and then we'd have to wait till they reestablish it anyway. Now, on top of that, Iran has no problem using force against the people. They shot down 1,500 of their own people in one day. If all the militia are actually Iranian-backed or part of Iranian force, they're going to have to go through that. So they can't just do it on their own. They'd have to have U.S. and U.N. help. That's exactly what I'm talking about when it gets to that part. You guys, I'm going to send something. I'm going to send you two things out today. One of them, and take your time and read it. It's a lot. But it tells you where all this is the U.S.'s fault. Now, this is coming from an Iraqi educator and a U.S. educator because they're giving you the history of it. And they're basically saying, we made the mistake of leaving children in the house alone and thinking they would grow up, and they didn't. Or, more important than that, we left them alone and then we let the neighbors come over and tell them what to do, because that's what Iran did. Came over and said, hey, the U.S. pulled out. Let's go over there. It will straighten them out. But in doing that, they put all their own people in charge like anybody else would. But it gives you the history of how they got there and where they are right now. But we selected the prime minister. We put Maliki in there. We put Alawi in there, Mahdi in there. And then we let them select their government, who were what? All Iranian people. But they were trying to give the different factions power, you know, the Democrats, the Independents, the Republicans, and saying, we're going to let y'all rule together so everybody feel like they're included and you guys can come out with better solutions. Well, they didn't. All it came out with is more fights, longer dragging out of those fights. Decisions not being made for years because we didn't put one person in authority or one group in authority because we didn't make the people's votes count. Instead, we put in a government like Lebanese had, and the U.S. put their government in, but it was like the Lebanon government, which gave them quotas to each group. And that's how you're going to rule. And now not only your quota, but any group you can get to join your group, you get their quota. And none of that actually really made any sense. Not the way we have a democracy. But the real problem is we set the democracy up according to some other country, not our country. And that was a major mistake. And they've been paying for it ever since. Because now none of them want to give up power. And if you don't have, you know, it's like we use the electoral votes. That's their quotas, our electoral votes, so you guys can understand it. But they're not controlled by each state like ours are. They're controlled by each group. And they can move them around any way they want, regardless of what the people say. So all of that was kind of ass backwards, if you really look at it. But that's what we're dealing with. And now they got to figure out how to undo that and put a new government that's fair. And that's what the free elections are supposed to be about, changing that quota system. Is everybody going to agree with it? No. Because the people in power want to stay in power. So they're going to fight it as long as they can. And it makes sense. We're all human. We would do the same thing. I'm not giving up my $500,000 a year job so you can get $10,000, or my $50 million a year job so you can get $10,000, because that's what they're doing, just so their citizens can eat. But they say, I got to give up my job. I can't steal no more money. I got to give up my power. I'm going to have to leave the country because the people are going to come after me once this gets approved. Nobody's going to voluntarily do that. They're going to have to be forced in the corner, one way or another, and that's what we're waiting to see. Okay, hopefully that was the answer. All right, Ray.
Okay. Who? That was 501. Okay, did that do it for you, 501?
Yes, I still don't understand why Iran can control and do everything they want and nothing can be done to Iran.
Something is being done to Iran. The sanctions are being done to Iran. Iraq will do nothing to Iran because the people in charge work for Iran. So why would they do anything? The citizens are the ones who are going to have to do something. It's up to them.
Okay, there you have it.
Okay.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
503 area code. You should be on.
Hi. Sorry about that first try. I kept hearing you and I couldn't figure out. I was talking and I guess you couldn't hear me. This is Oregon. And Tony and Ray, I'm still confused because my understanding was that when the U.S. came in there, that they would have that this is their last try. This new prime minister is their third try, and you're out, kind of thing. and then the U.S. could come in and set up their own government. But that's not what I'm hearing. So has that changed?
Well, not the U.S. We got a ticking noise in the back.
Okay. It's her connection.
Okay.
So we'll come back to her.
Yeah. All right. Not that the U.S. can just come in and pick. The U.S. can't just come in and pick until they have a failed government. And as long as they're following their constitution, they don't have a failed government. So their next step was either for Selah to assume the position or somebody in the House of Representatives to assume the position. They can't just keep doing what they're doing. Now, their constitution says, or most of them believe, that he needs to assign whoever the largest block says assign. Everybody else is saying that's not true. He can assume the position himself or somebody from the House of Representatives. Just like our government, you know, something happened to the president. We got the vice president. We got the Speaker of the House. We got on and on and down. There's succession already built into it. And maybe that's when they go to that. Or their constitution says the largest block can select that person then, and Selah has to appoint them. So they're arguing over that legally. Just last week, their top court came out and said that what Selah has been doing is what he's supposed to be doing, and it's all legal. So we'll see what happens in 30 days. I really can't tell you what's going to happen. I know it's not going to be easy, whatever it is. It's going to be some confusion. Okay?
All right, 1 second. Let me get our line back open.
Hi, can you hear me?
All right, 503.
Okay.
Yes, we hear you now.
Yes. Yep. So my understanding is that if the Iranians, one of the points that the U.S. could use to get the militias out of Iraq is to say to Iran, we will remove the sanctions and you get the militias completely out of Iraq, and number one, and number two, that you get the militias out of Iraq, and number two, you put your nuclear stuff on hold, period. Then all the sanctions will be lifted. So, you get your militias to come back home. You know, they not only have to stand down, but they have to come back to onto Iranian soil because we do have our military there. Until that happens, I just don't foresee anything. I'm not a gloom and doom person, but I just don't see that until the militias get out of Iraq and Hezbollah and all the other militias, that there's much hope other than for a lot of bloodshed. And that just makes me sad to no end.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm. All right. So, you know, when you said that, I almost started laughing. Okay, now, not at you, but with you, but here's the thing. Right now, the sanctions are there because of the nuclear deal. That's the whole reason they put sanctions on Iran. Now, they can't make a deal with Iran to say, hey, we'll move the sanctions if you'll do what we told you to do already, which Iran says they're not doing. That's why they have the sanctions. Plus, do all this for Iraq. Move your guys out, everything else. When that's why they put the guys there, because of what you did. And now, not only is that a fact, but the Iraq parliament, government, the majority, don't mind Iran being there because that's who's paying them in the back door. That's where they're getting their money from to live like kings all around the world, where they're sending their money. So it's like you telling your neighbor it's okay for him to barbecue in your backyard. Go ahead. I don't care. Whenever you feel like it, barbecue, put your little garden back there, you know, bring over your picnic table and everything else. I don't really care. Every now and then, you know, fill up my gas tank. Buy me a new car. Do this when you do that, and you agree. And then I live down the street, and I come out and say, hey, get out of her backyard. How's that going to work? Until me and you agree they need to get out of your backyard. That's when it works. And right now, Iraq's parliament is not agreeing to that because they're still getting paid. They're getting their mortgage paid. They're getting their cars paid. They're getting gas put in their car. They say, U.S., what are you doing for us? And that's what the second article was about that I was going to send to you guys. Because it says, from 2003 to today, how have they benefited from the U.S. being there? They said, what benefit did we get? I mean, Saddam is gone, but everything else is crazy. The people are still starving. Only ones getting paid is the government, and they're getting paid from Iran. So how has the U.S. benefited us? The U.S. benefited because you now own all of our oil wells, 30%. I mean, you're getting paid every month. Every time we pump a barrel of oil out the ground, somebody in the U.S. is getting paid, which I'm not naming anybody, but somebody is. So we clearly see how you benefited. How did it benefit us? And that's the argument that's going on. And the U.S. is trying to say it didn't. But if you do this, it will in the future. We got a future plan for you that's going to change your entire lives. And the older Iraqis are saying, well, we're living for today. The younger Iraqis who are out there protesting are saying, we can see that future, and that's what we really want. We just don't know how to get it. So we're going to need your help at some point getting what you're offering in the future. And that's what it's going to come down to. Does that make sense?
One second. I had to mute her line again. It was clicking.
Just keep upping the ante. I'm sorry, what?
I said, we hear you now. We didn't hear you at first.
Oh, good. The Iranians just keep upping the ante and then just keep. So I don't see why we can't change the rules, because they obviously don't mind changing the rules on their end either by bringing Iraq into the Iranian-Iraq disagreement by posting militias there. I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. The other thing is, it would seem to me like that the international community could actually block the transactions of money going into pay the Iraqi parliamentarians. I mean, at some point, the world community has got to take over this and say, you know, enough is enough. They are not going to monitor themselves. I mean, that's been the history. So it's going to have to be someone, the world community is going to have to step in and say, enough is enough, your bank accounts are blocked, no more fund sharing, thank you very much. And, you know, and by the way, turn the lights off when you leave and don't come back.
Okay, listen, right there where you're at, hold on for a second, because you have to remember something. First of all, we can't change the rules of two countries agreeing to do business unless they're actually hurting people, killing people, massacring people in the streets. You can come and do something about it. But as long as their agreement is together, the other thing is what the U.S. has done over the last 10 years, in that long, because they are constantly fighting it, is change the laws. We changed their banking laws, their financial laws, how much money can be moved in and out of the country. We've added their politicians to our sanction list, which has frozen their bank accounts around the world, and other countries are following suit. But all that takes time, effort. It's methodically getting done. Every month this is done or that's done or this is done. We are definitely closing the loop or shutting the door on them, but it's slow. They are definitely fighting it every way. But we can't go in and say, hey, all you guys are crooked, so get out tomorrow. Their people have to do that. We need those people supporting us. If we went in right now, then all the militias are going to do what they're doing. We start shooting Iraqis. We start bombing them because they're going to fight. The militias are going to fight, and they're going to try to convince the people that we're coming in to take over their country once again. That, hey, your cousin was fighting with us, and Americans just shot him, or your best friend, not knowing that he's supporting Iran. It's just they're shooting Iraqis now in the street for no reason or to try to take over the country. You guys got to think about the worst war we ever had. I ain't going to say worst, but the craziest war. And this one has always been the same to me, this Vietnam War. Because you don't know who the good guy is and who the bad guy is. This is the same way. You're walking down the street, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? I mean, they both got guns, they both dress somewhat alike, but one of them likes me and the other one doesn't, and I don't have a clue who. And then when you shoot the wrong one, you're sending the wrong message to everybody else. This is a very complicated and delicate situation. And the people have to take control of it, and we have to support the people to see the change. Okay, Ray.
All right, sir. That's going to wrap us up time-wise.
Oh, okay. I didn't know she was done, but I guess so. Okay.
Well, yep. The clock says so.
Okay. All right, guys. A lot of discussion, information. Things are happening. And again, what we got to like is they're making it public for everybody to know, which is fueling the fire of the people. They got to get around this virus now some kind of way before they can get back out there or fight the virus and them at the same time to see that kind of change. Bring the price of oil back up. We'll help everything. We'll calm it. And we'll see. But I'm going to say this. They were going to do the RV in September. Now, they did have a prime minister in place at the time. And they did have what we call a stable government. All we have to tell Mahdi quit. So it was easy to do. It was easy to look at it and say, do the RV, and then go in, and now they're breaking laws, and we can do it. But now it's like a lawless society. Now the militia has gotten sparked up so much more since the general was killed. You know, back in August, September, a lot back then, they weren't bombing the U.S. bases over there like they are now. Things have changed. And we have to realize that the situation has changed once again. Not that it can't be done, but something else has to change to get it done. And we're waiting to see that. We're still in the right place at the right time. Look at the markets. And if they change together, oh, man, we're going to have heaven on earth. Because we are going to be in the game. I can tell you that. So with that, guys, I'm going to tell you, do what I do. Do what I'm going to do. Stay in the house. Don't go to your neighbor's house. Don't go down the street. Don't have more than 6 people in your group. And please, 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 don't cough on me. Don't do that, all right? So, anyway, follow your rules, guys. Let's try to enjoy life. Enjoy your families while you can. Please take this time to educate them about your future, their future. Look at things. Let them know there's another side to the world. And let's wait until our day to get blessed gets here. All right? Enjoy the rest of your day. Right?
Okay, as we look forward to our next regularly scheduled call, which should be on Wednesday, just keep remembering, out of all the things that we're hearing, however bad some of it may sound, there's a silver lining. You just have to look for it. And we've shared some silver lining situations already with you on today's call as well as last week's call. And hopefully on Wednesday's call, we'll share some more silver lining situations, things that you can look forward to in the meantime. So keep believing. We sure do.
This keeps me going. On those days when I feel like giving up, fire.
One day I'm going to be with just music. Y'all gonna love me.
The storm will soon be over. I believe the rain will go away. I believe that I can make it through it. Oh,
I want you to already see yourself out of the storm. The clouds will move. It's time for you to smile again. Come on, Sean.
I believe my family will get better. I believe God will provide.
God's already pre-approved you for it. Come on, Zaccardi.
I believe that my God is a healer. Yes, he is. And I believe that I will survive. Oh, I believe that God is able.
Tells us that if any two of us shall agree on anything on earth, that God will do it for us in heaven. And I know sometimes life has a way of knocking you down to the point where you can't even pray for yourself. But today I want to agree with you that it's getting ready to get better. And right now we are giving your problem an expiration date. And we're saying it's over. That you've been crying long enough. That you've been worried long enough. That you've been struggling long enough. And I believe that God's gonna do it for you.
Believe it, yeah.
remember this.
Your storm is over. I feel it. Your rain is gone away.
Clouds have moved.
I feel it. You'll make it through it.
To stop conference recording, press 1. To return, this session is no longer being recorded.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a wrap. Enjoy your Monday. We are out of here.